Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills. Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie. Easily compare mortgage rates for first-time buyers, movers and switchers. It's easy, it's free, it's bonkers.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Now, just a little warning. The next few calls are continuing the conversation we've been having over the last week and a half about, propelled by women contacting us who, in the main, were married and then discovered after many years, in a lot of cases, that their husbands were gay and the fallout from that. And we are at the request, and understandably, we are obviously changing names and details, but also we're changing their voices ever so slightly, but significantly, so they won't be recognised. So I ask you to bear with us as we do this. Joe at RT.ie 51551. Sophie, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
And again, we've changed the voice. What's your situation and story, Sophie, please?
I've been married for 10 years. And, sorry, dude, it's just very hard for me. I've been married for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And within the 10 years of the marriage, we never had a sexual relationship within the marriage. Just a while back, my husband took his own life. Mm-hmm. And a couple of weeks after his funeral, a friend of his contacted me looking for his ashes. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't want to give away any of my husband's ashes, but yeah. I've offered him other mm-hmm. stuff, which he refused to actually take. Then I realized that there was a relationship going on with him.
With this man, this other yeah. man. And when you realised that, Sophie, did that bring other things to the fore in what's happened in your 10 years of marriage?
It did. It answered a bit of things, because at the start, I blamed myself for not having been attractive to my husband. Mm. And now I did lose weight and made changes and made the effort to see, and I blamed myself for it when I know now I wasn't in the wrong.
You thought that he might have been... You thought you would have to do things to try and make yourself more attractive to him.
Yeah, thinking I was the problem.
My God, and that's what you did.
Yes, and it wasn't the case. As now I know that he was in a relationship with this man.
Now, are you surmising he was in a relationship? Though it is odd for it. Is he a complete stranger to you?
No, he would have been part of a circle of friends of ours. And I do know that they have shared beds on numerous occasions, even shared our own beds in our house one night.
What, there was a party on or something? And
there was, and I wasn't at home that weekend. And my husband has said it to me that they had shared a bed. Now, I did question the fact of what was going on, and I did ask my husband, was he gay? But this led to an argument, and he was disgusted that I would have thought that he was like that.
And obviously, Sophie, and I'm so sorry that he died by... He died by suicide. Is that what you said?
Yes, he died by suicide.
And you say you had no sexual relationship in the marriage. So you
none in the marriage, and none prior to the marriage when we were going out. Now, I always took it that he it was just set in his old ways, and he was waiting until he got married, and it would all change when we got married, but it didn't. It never changed. We just never had a sexual relationship.
And am I right in assuming you've no children by a previous or subsequent relationship?
No, and now it's too late for me to have children. I'm just too old now to have children.
So, well, nobody knows who can and can't at times. But so that's another act of betrayal.
It is. I feel cheated by this. I really feel cheated by the whole lot. And now that he's taken his own life, I just feel it's a pity he couldn't have talked about it.
And have you any glimpse into the, because he died by suicide, into the darkness or torment that he was going through? Did you get any indication before or after that he was in such a dark place?
No, he had a lot of other issues. He had very low self-esteem, and he had an alcohol problem too. But I assume in this case, it was a case of covering everything up.
It would seem so, wouldn't it? And does he have extended family?
He does.
Okay. And do you have any contact with them, Sophie?
No, because at the moment, over how he passed away, it's kind of a blame game, and, you know, it has hurt his family.
And he was still, so to speak, with you when he died by suicide.
Yes, we were still together.
And his family didn't know of that torment he was going through, and is he putting you through now?
No one knew. I never spoke about it for obvious reasons. That I felt it was my fault. I was embarrassed about things, and I just
And
he wouldn't want me talking about our relationship outside the house.
And Sophie, did you ask this other man who requested your husband's ashes are part thereof, and ashes only he wanted, with such an important resonance. Did you say to him, were you my husband's friend, boyfriend, partner?
No, I never said it, but after refusing that, I had phone calls at night time and abusive phone calls during the day, which I had to go to the guards and get the guards to speak to him.
And we don't know who's making those calls, of course, but anyway. When your husband died by suicide, was there any indication then of why he was going through this torment? That he was hiding his sexuality, that he was living a double life.
As I say, he had a lot of issues, and it would, I don't know how to explain it, but it would have, see now that would have been one of the major issues that led into other issues, trying to cover it up.
Yeah. Was his drinking trying to dull the pain, deaden the pain?
It was, and that led to a kind of a mental abuse in the household, and it just led to arguments upon arguments. So I just gave up asking questions and learned to deal with living what I was living with.
And Sophia, I'm told you want to highlight the fact that the effect that it had on you of finding your husband when he died by suicide.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish anyone to go through it. And I think it's an awful hardship on anyone that has. I walked into the house that evening and I knew there was something up. Because things weren't right when I opened the front door of the house, and I just found him.
Yeah. And in terms of support now, Sophie, do you have support?
I do. I've gone through 11 months of counselling, and I've gone down to support groups, but now I'm trying to get on with my life. And it's my time to live my life now.
Yeah. Okay. But don't be, I know you're not, don't be afraid to ask for support. It's an incredible trauma you went through, you're going through as well, as you look at the ramifications of it.
I just feel, Joe, if someone was in the same situation I was, it's not their fault. You know, I've suffered and I should have left, but every time I wanted to leave, did think he would try and do away with himself.
Yeah.
It is just mental abuse that is attached to everything.
It's truly heartbreaking. No, you're fine. You're fine. It's truly heartbreaking, Sophie. Can I ask, have you support from your own extended family, Sophie?
No, I haven't support from my own extended family. As I say, there's a lot of blame, and you know, I suppose I was wrong. I didn't
Why were you wrong? Stop. Why were you wrong, Sophie?
I didn't tell anyone.
You didn't tell anyone what?
What was happening in the marriage?
Because you were afraid. Because you were pressurized. You were being controlled. You were. You've nothing to be. To feel a blame for. Absolutely nothing. Adults, any adult would understand that. Any adult that lives a sentient life and listens to conversations with friends in pubs or clubs or radio or television or workplace knows the pressure that are on women in these abusive relationships and would never, ever, ever, should never, ever, ever second guess the woman and what she could or should have done at any particular time. Seriously.
Yeah, but I have such good friends.
Great. Okay, well then stay. What's the phrase? It's very common. I don't know. Stay away from toxic people. Stay with good people. Now I'm also conscious, and the whole discussion, and one of the reasons I think why it has struck a chord over the last few weeks and people are now talking about it, is that these men were born and reared in a repressive Ireland where they couldn't, if they had mentioned that they were gay, as we discovered, the parents told them they would cast them out, literally from the farm or from the home or whatever. There was enormous pressure on men who were gay in terms of coming out. So I'm very conscious of that as well. And I think and I hope that the voices you're hearing, which are women, you heard one man yesterday who was gay and in a marriage, but the voices that you're hearing are just full of empathy and hurt as well, for what's happened. They are real experiences. Okay, Sophie, thanks indeed.
Thanks, Joe.
And for contacting us Look, and you do. Where do you find comfort, Sophie? Do you find it in your friends? Do you find it in religion or books or spirituality or your friends? Again, I come back to or therapists or whatever.
And just trying to get out, clear the head, and trying to make sense of everything.
Yeah. And you will make sense of it. You will make sense of it, even though a lot of it is nonsense. But you will make sense of it. Don't let it do you down, because you have come through it. And I know all the things you're saying, the things you've now regrets about children and what ifs and all this carry on. All these big issues that people ask themselves, the what ifs. Sophie, thanks so much for contacting us.
Thanks
for your most powerful contribution, your most powerful email. Condolences to you on the death of your husband and to his extended family as well. Obviously, your voice has been changed, and the way the voice has changed, someone said sounds the same, but you are a different person. Your voice has been changed, Sophie, and Kind regards and a warm embrace. That's Sophie, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Mairead, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Again, people recognise the distorted voice because of the topic. Can you tell us your story, please, Mairead?
Well, thanks very much, Joe, for airing this situation. Hmm. I go back a long time, back to the 1980s, right, when Ireland was a very, very different place.
Okay.
I'm married and I have three children, and things started to go wrong, I'd say, after about 10 years of marriage.
Okay.
And my youngest child was about four. I couldn't sort of figure it out because we were then into the recession times in the 1980s. We had our own businesses and they were all going downhill and everything was wrong. And my husband seemed to kind of take a step backwards about 10 or 20 years in that he became like a teenager. He wanted to be out, he wanted to be played loud music, he wanted to be just not in the marriage, I felt. I couldn't really figure it out for ages and ages. And then it kind of suddenly dawned on me that maybe he might be gay. Yeah. Now, we didn't know anything about gay people. Men were men, women were women, and that was it. We didn't, you know, we had no experience of same-sex marriages or anything at all like that. So it went on. We lost all our businesses. We lost our home. I had to relocate, and he eventually went to live in another country, leaving a trail of destruction with bills and hundreds of thousands of bills behind and three small children. So I had to pick myself up and start up another business and try and raise the children, and went on from there.
And where did he go? Where did he disappear to, leaving that trail?
He went to part of Great Britain.
Yeah.
And that was a blessing, really, Joe, because I knew I couldn't carry on with the situation as it was, because he was chaotic.
Mm.
Now, as well as being gay, he was what they called in those days a manic depressive. So reality, there was no reality. If you said about, you know, we're going to lose the home, we're going to lose our car, we're going to lose this, that, no, you're all crazy. No, that's not going to happen. So, and I was a young woman, I was only in my early 30s. There was no support, no one you could go to, no counselling, nothing, absolutely nothing. You just had to get on with it as best you could. But,
and did you say it to him, Mairead, within the lifetime of the marriage, so to speak? Did you ask him, was he gay?
No, I did confront him gay. I did confront him, and he agreed that he was.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we both knew it then. But as for anything else, the chaos just kept going.
See?
And that went on for a good few years before he left to go away. And that I knew that was the only way that I could cope. If he was gone out of the situation, I could then deal with the children. I could raise them as best they could. I was always used to hard work.
Yeah.
So I was prepared to do anything. And I came to live in town, so that made life a bit easier for me in that, you know, because the car was taking me from eventually, so you had kids going to school and all that kind of thing. At least they could walk and walk home.
And when you say he ran away, leaving a trail of destruction.
Well, he didn't so much run. It was just he had to go somewhere.
Hmm.
And a friend of his was in Great Britain at the time. She was a woman, and she was a very good friend of his, and she kind of took him under her wing a bit, because he wouldn't have stayed otherwise. But he just left a whole trail of destruction.
And you believe he ran, or sorry, he went away to or with another man?
I don't think he did, but he was in contact with other men there that I knew. I'd say what happened was he probably met a man somewhere, fell in love with him maybe, and, you know, that took over his whole emotional situation, that he couldn't concentrate on anyone else, and anything else didn't make any, you know, make any sense. So so he went from there, but he picked himself up over there, and he was always good to work and make a pound then, and he ended up having a fantastic life. He met very good partners, I'd say, very wealthy ones, who treated him very well, and he had very good life.
He had a wealthy lifestyle.
I had a very good. Yeah. Very, very, very good. He always liked the finer things in life. So he, you know, being broken and being without money would never suit him. You know, or having the pressure of children. Now, he was crazy about the children and still would be, okay. But like the responsibility of them and the pressure of them or any of that, he wouldn't want any of that.
Okay.
So basically. My children are grown up. They're grown up now.
And Mairead, you'd obviously fallen out of love with him before this ever.
Oh God, came. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. To be truthful, Joe, I was married 12 months when I realised I was after making a big mistake, but I didn't know why. But I knew something was wrong.
And what about, like, a number of people are saying, like, he knew he was gay, other men knew that. They didn't have to get married. Why did they get married?
I think they got married and they went into the priesthood and places like that just because it was safe. Yeah. And I would say that some of the first contacts he had were clergy.
What do you mean?
They were clergy. Before his partners, I'd say, are people are getting into that whole gay scene. The clergy were a big part of that.
You believe?
I know. Because I had to go and confront one of them at one stage because he was socialising an awful lot with him, spending money that we needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and made the situation clear. And I said, look, I have three small children. We have bills here of £250,000.
God. And you confronted this priest?
I did.
Do you believe the priest was in a relationship with your husband?
I wouldn't say now that he was in a relationship, but he certainly was in the circle.
Okay.
I couldn't say now for sure, but he was in the circle.
Okay. How are you doing now, Mairead?
I'm doing good, Joe, but I'm listening to the other ladies there now with the last couple of days. And I can concur with an awful lot of what they say.
Yeah.
But I would say there's one thing always come up for me, and that would be grieving for me as a young woman. I had to work so hard. I had so much trauma, so much stress to try and bring up my children because, as I said, we didn't have counselling or we hadn't any support system. So you had to do the best you could.
Yeah.
And explain the situation as best you could. You know, we didn't have the skills. And also,
are you grieving for the life that you thought? I'm thinking back to Sophie now, that you thought you could have had or would have had.
Yes, I there would be part of that.
Yeah. Okay.
Now I changed home a couple of years ago.
And that's a.
And that kind of brought it all up again.
Okay, and the process hopefully will continue because process will lead to healing and the very fact that you're talking about it this way as well means hopefully.
Yeah, I have done an awful lot of healing and everything over the last 10 years, or the last 20 years.
Okay.
And that certainly helps.
Okay.
But there are times when I do grieve for that young woman.
Yeah.
because she had no chance.
Your younger self, yeah.
Yeah, my younger self, yeah.
Okay, Mairead. Mairead, thanks a million. Thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks very much, Joe.
Thank you.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.